lovely, and welcome back to a teen's POV. It is lovely to see you here. I hope you are doing well. The reason that there wasn't an episode last week is because it was actually Halloween last Sunday, so I hope everyone had a good Halloween. I know I did, because I'm that person that will dress up for no reason and just not go out and then take it all off, because I'm like that. But anyway, on to today's episode. It was actually inspired by all of my friends, including myself, because we've been quite emotional lately, and I don't know if that's just the hormones or if it's something in the air, the placement of the planets. And I also did already mention that I'm quite an emotional person, so I thought that this would be quite a fitting topic for today. And if you haven't read the title, it is Swimming, Not Drowning in Your Feels, and Breaking Through Overwhelming Emotions. And so basically today we're going to go through how to exactly do that and how to find that balance between feeling your emotions to a point where it's healthy, but also not holding on to them and also not suppressing them. So finding that healthy balance. And it might actually be helpful for myself as well. Like this will be a therapeutic episode for me as well, because I can definitely say that I've been getting quite worked up and temperamental angry recently. And anger is kind of a low vibe emotion. On the emotional guidance scale, which I will get into later, so stick around to hear that. But yeah, usually I'm a quite zen person, or like the the most zen a bubbly outgoing person can be. I don't know. I've been getting kind of angry lately, so I feel like this is going to be a good topic for me to talk about as well. And if you struggle with emotions or always feel overwhelmed with so many emotions, it's okay. We've all been there, and it's also most likely the hormones as well, because they kind of play a big part in puberty, especially at this age. But we'll also get into the science of hormones and peptides and the role that they play with emotions later as well. So, without further ado, if you are someone who is easily overwhelmed with emotions or wants to learn how to handle them, then this is the episode for you. Getting straight into it. What are exactly emotions? Emotions are energy in motion. They are also indicators and responses to certain situations. And let me explain this. So basically, emotion equals energy in motion. When I first heard this, I was like, wait, this actually makes so much sense. Because if you look at the word emotion, the E stands for energy and motion is just in motion. And I think it couldn't ring more true, because when you have an emotion, it kind of perpetuates this energy from you. When someone walks into a room and they're feeling low, not only can you tell by their body language, but you can kind of feel the energy that they've created. And you can't tell me that you haven't felt it before. Or think of maybe that one person that is always in a good mood, and when you're around them, you can not help but feel in a good mood too, because that energy that they're creating with their emotions is affecting you. So I thought that was quite interesting. Also, emotions are a lot of things, but they're also indicators to situations. So they can be a really good starting point for learning about yourself and learning what you do and don't like. So in certain, dodgy, uncomfortable situations, people will call it instinct and gut, which it is as well, but the emotion that you feel also serves as an indicator, like, I need to get out of here, or if you're in a place that you like to be, you'll feel a positive emotion, which serves as an indicator that you do like this thing. So they're indicators as well. And the initial wave of emotion you feel is uncontrollable, and that is fine. But then you're the one who decides what to do with it. This is quite a big topic, and it's going to lead on to my next point, which is talking about suppressing emotions. But when you have the initial thought or emotion, and you feel the initial emotion, there's an observer, a part of you that observes this, and you can decide what you want to do with it. I'll use jealousy as an example, because when I was younger, I used to have a lot of issues with jealousy, and my mum was actually the one who taught me how to transmute this emotion into a slightly better one. So, say for example, I saw someone performing better than me in something that I love to do. Maybe dance, for example. And I felt jealous. And I would go to my mum and I used to tell her, "Mummy, I'm feeling jealous and I don't know why." And she used to tell me that feeling jealousy is fine and you can't control that, but what you can do is transmute it into a different emotion. And so she taught me how to turn jealousy into admiration. And instead of thinking, "Why is this person better than me?" you can think, "This person is so good, it's inspirational to me, and I aspire to be like them." And another example, on the topic of jealousy as well, but when I was really, really little, I remember when my little sister was first born, and everyone was bringing her presents and things, and this is 3-year-old Dia, mind you, she goes up to her mum and asks, "I'm feeling jealous of the baby, but I don't know why." And Mum explained to me then that it's okay to feel like that, but don't take every emotion for what it is and don't believe it as soon as you feel it. Challenge it. And it goes for thoughts as well, but also emotions. And think, why do I feel this way and how can I change it into something better? And so I learned to turn that jealousy of my baby newborn sister into loving and protection, really. Because instead, and pride as well, because instead of feeling jealous of, "Oh, why is she getting all this attention and all these presents?" I was like, "Well, that's my sister." Then basically what I wanted to say with that is, what will you make the byproduct of the emotion that you feel? Yes, we can feel negative emotions, but you're the one who decides what the byproduct of this is. And it's important because most of the time, our emotions are what dictate our actions. And that's just a completely normal human thing to do. Now, on the topic of holding on to emotions, there was this really great example that I heard from another podcast, actually. I think it was, I can't even remember, but she was talking about how, think of emotions as guests, and we can allow these emotions into our house. We're the ones who open the door, and they come, and then we open the door and we let the guests out. But if we hold on to these guests that are emotions and we hold them captive, it's not going to be great for either of you, is it? And so the same way it works with emotions, we feel the emotion, yes, but then we can hold on to it and think about it and feel it on and on and on, or we can let it go and let it have its time, because we are not our emotions. And everything, all of our emotions are temporary. They're like waves. Waves of emotions will keep moving, but you'll never be happy all the time. You'll never be sad all the time. And if you are sad all the time, you should probably see a mental health specialist, because that's depression. But you see what I mean. If you're happy all the time, that's also a mental health issue, because I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it's like being manic or something. But I know that being happy all the time is definitely not a healthy thing. And obviously being sad all the time is not a healthy thing. Now, this next point that I'm going to make is for all my people out there that feel something but kind of just bottle it all up until one little thing triggers them and then they explode. I wanted to explain that there is quite a problem with suppressing emotions for prolonged periods of time. And you can already imagine how this would be problematic. But something that I've had to tell people before is that, and a motto that I live by, honestly, is that you need to feel it to heal it. So for anyone who likes to suppress their emotions and think, oh yeah, I'll be fine, I'll just leave this in the back of my mind or in the back of my heart and not let it out and not let anyone see because I don't like being vulnerable. You need to feel it to heal it. And when you bottle it all up, one little thing is going to trigger you. And wouldn't you rather be constantly working through your emotions than having it all bottled up until you explode? I mean, each to their own, really, but I have an example of this with one of my friends, and it's kind of a play on words because it was quite literally about a drink bottle, so symbolic. She had been feeling bad for the entire day, but every time I asked about it or someone else asked about it, she was like, no, I'm fine, and she'd just brush it off until she thought that she had lost her drink bottle. And I think it's funny that thinking she lost her drink bottle was the thing that broke her, because it kind of symbolized her bottling up her emotions. But she thought she lost her drink bottle, and whereas on a normal day it wouldn't have been that big of a deal, she broke down crying and started lashing out at us and her friends. And the whole day I had actually been saying to her that you need to feel it to heal it, but she kept on brushing it off, which is completely understandable. But it was just a display of how problematic things can get if you do bottle it up and suppress it. After the healing process, though, or after working through your negative emotions, it's important to let them go. And yes, letting go of emotions can be difficult. And this is where the science comes in. Why is letting go of emotions difficult, you ask? It is because of peptide neurotransmitters, which I will explain, don't worry. But it can be especially hard during our teen years when our hormonal balance is practically non-existent. Let me explain. Imagine the peptide... Oh, well, first of all, peptide neurotransmitters are in our brain, and they have receptors as well. And it helps me... I'm a visual learner, so it helps me visualize it. Imagine the peptides as little mini rockets, and imagine the receptors as landing pads in our brain. When we have a thought, we attach it to an emotion, feel that emotion, and a peptide is created, and in turn, the receptor for that emotion is created. So the more you feel that emotion, the more receptors you have for that emotion, and the cycle goes on. So say, for example, if I am a generally happy or positive person, my brain will have created many, many peptides over the years of that create positive emotions, and therefore I would have many receptors for positive emotions. But then if I feel a negative emotion, it creates a peptide for that emotion, but as a positive person, there won't be as many receptors. I hope that makes sense, but if it doesn't, you can do your research as well, or just go back a few seconds and try listen to that again. But basically, this is why if you are constantly thinking negatively, feeling bad about yourself, your mind will be abundant in receptors for that negative emotion. So if you create a positive feeling, there will be much less receptors to receive it, making it harder to break the habit. And this is why there's so much resistance subconsciously when we try to create or try to feel emotions that we're not used to feeling, because there's actually that lack of receptors to receive that emotion. And that's why it can feel like strange and foreign when you try doing it as well. And actually, an interesting side note that I just remembered was when it comes to neurotransmitting, what is it? Peptide neurotransmitters, that's what it is. And receptors, when our body ingests certain drugs, whether it be antidepressants or stimulants, etc., we're actually creating unhealthy amounts of, not necessarily unhealthy, but unnatural amounts of these peptide neurotransmitters. And the receptors on the other end actually get, what's the word? They get damaged and they die. And that's why people get addicted. That's what addiction is that drug creates unnatural levels of peptides, therefore damaging the receptors, and then the reception level goes down, which makes you crave more of the drug. So, little side lesson on drug abuse there, in case you wanted to know, and I hope that made sense. Anyway, on to the next point, which is we need to treat our emotions with compassion, regardless if they're negative or not. Think of it this way. If your friend was feeling upset, you wouldn't tell them that it's stupid that they feel the way that they do, would you? So, if you can't seem to let go of certain emotions, be kind to yourself, remind yourself that you are only human too, then try and redirect your focus elsewhere. But don't worry if it doesn't work. Awareness is always the first step. Awareness is always the first step. So even by listening to this podcast, you've become more aware and you're already being more productive. And I'm pretty sure the process that I just explained is called cognitive behavioral therapy. So if you wanted to search that up, I would recommend, or if you're really struggling, honestly, therapy is the answer. Yes, listening to podcasts can help, and it got me through some hard times, but if you're really struggling, I would definitely advise you to seek help, because I am in no place to give out professional health advice. So basically, if you feel bad or you feel upset, but you can't let go of that emotion, don't beat yourself up for it. Don't think, I think I might have at one point, but today, present, if I was feeling upset about something and I couldn't stop feeling upset about it, I wouldn't think to myself, God, dear, you're so stupid. I can't believe you're still upset about this. Like, don't be mean to yourself. Be kind, because if you can't be kind to yourself, how are you going to expect anyone else to be kind to yourself, you know? And my favorite point when it comes to emotions and my favorite tool to use is the Abraham Hicks Emotional Guidance Scale. And if you've listened this far, then you have hit the jackpot. Lucky enough to undiscover this gem, because let me tell you, when I found the Abraham Hicks Emotional Guidance Scale, I was like, yes, this makes sense. I understand emotions now. I have the know. But basically, I would definitely advise you right now, to search up the Abraham Hicks Emotional Guidance Scale, and it will come up with two spirals. One is the upward spiral, one is the downward spiral. And on the upward spiral, at the top, it has emotions such as joy, knowledge, empowerment, freedom, love, appreciation. And at the bottom of the upward spiral, it has contentment. Then at the bottom of the downward spiral, it has emotions such as fear, grief, depression, powerlessness, and victim. And at the top of the downward spiral, it has boredom. So basically being neutral. And the whole point of this guidance scale is to show that we can't expect to feel joy and everything at the top of the upward scale 2 minutes after feeling, I don't know, fear and grief and depression, which is at the very bottom of the downward spiral. But if you do feel fear, grief, depression, and then you go from feeling those emotions to feeling maybe insecurity, guilt, unworthiness, which is a step up from that, yeah, they're both still negative emotions, but you're still working your way up the ladder. And also, another one is, well, if you search it up, you'll have it all laid out there for you. Just know that if you've gone from feeling, say, for example, anger to discouragement, anger is lower than discouragement on the downward spiral. So you're still, even if you are feeling bad still, you're still making your way up the ladder until you reach the top, and then you can upward spiral. And actually, the top of the upward spiral, the middle of both, and the bottom are the three most basic human emotions. And as humans, we kind of just filled in the spaces with fancy human words because we realized that emotions are a lot more than just happy, sad, and neutral, or bored. That pretty much brings me to the end of this episode and all the points that I would like to make about overwhelming emotions. And that brings us to the reflection questions for today. So get comfortable and get ready to reflect. Okay. I want you to think to yourself, where am I sitting currently on the emotional guidance scale? When have I suppressed or held onto an emotion for too long? How will becoming aware help me in my everyday life? Which emotions do I wish to create and feel more often? Take some time to think over those again. Maybe go back and replay them and really think about it, because this is maybe a lot of new information, a lot of things that I have shared, And I really want you to get the most out of it, because I got so much out of all of this, out of learning all of this. And even learning the science helps me a lot, because it's something that interests me. So I hope that you found that interesting too. Now, after listening, we should be able to, if anything, become self-aware and aware of our emotions, have a new guidance tool, which is the emotional guidance scale. So hopefully we can actually boost our self-esteem by knowing that even if you went from blame to worry, they might be two negative emotions, but at least you're working up the ladder. And, oh, that is a car pulling up. I don't know if you can hear that. And now, when you're drowning in your feels, when it's midnight and you're just, I'm not even going to go there, because I don't know if it's just me that has random mood swings late at night and then listens to 8D audios. But basically, the point that I'm trying to say is that now we can not drown in overwhelming emotions, but feel it to a healthy level, not suppress it, and then let it go. That is all that I have for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got something out of it. I hope we learned and grew together. Keep sending feedback, keep sending ideas, and let me know what you thought, what you'd like to hear next. Actually, I think there's this new feature on podcasts in Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, there's this new feature that they added where I can ask questions. So I'll leave a question and you can say what you want to hear next on there if you wish. Otherwise, you can DM me on Instagram at dear.bengra. And until next time on A Teen's POV, bye.